name of Lord Jesus, let's sing a hymn called Star 177. 177. Each one of the students is an individual soul, which is more precious than the whole world, but also can be lost if today we don't do enough, we don't care enough, we don't pray enough for them. Oh Lord, this responsibility is too heavy. But we cannot shift the responsibility. The only way is that we must come before you to ask for guidance, ask for strength and wisdom, perseverance. The most important thing, O Lord, we need, the first step is to overcome our own weaknesses, to overcome our own temptation. Because we often are the one who put ourselves into temptation, O Lord. We need you to deliver us from evil so that we can overcome them, and then we can guide our students to overcome all the temptation around. Because this is the end time. Temptation are abound. Wickedness are abound. It's everywhere. We ask the Lord you to protect us and guide us and keep us. O Lord, we thank you for sending a worker from USA to come specially to help us. Please bless them and guide the way back home later this evening. We thank you for all the local workers to dedicate the time for this event. May all of their labor be remembered by you. We thank God that some of the Irish teachers spend their time here, even though in the midst of preparing the PC final, but they still love you and put the time to learn something from you. We ask the Lord to bless them spiritually and academically. We entrusted the rest of the assembly unto your hand, O Lord. Please guide us. Hallelujah. Amen. Please be seated. Sorry, I don't have PowerPoint. I'm still not that up to the technology, but I'll learn because CCC has given me a laptop, so in the future I'll learn how to use it more powerfully. PowerPoint, we need PowerPoint to be more powerful. Huh? My class today is sharing with you is called Dealing with Temptation. Well, this is, I think this morning, our dear sister Patricia has helped me to finish half of the material, huh? Because the things I want to talk, she already talked. So I'll see what I can do with the rest of the time. Maybe ask you to do more assignments. Hey, anyway, where's my assignment? It seems that there's no one except one student to give me your reflection. It's okay, before lunch you give me it. But don't do it now, please. Dealing with temptation. Now, we must know the first point. We must know the nature of temptation. Now, when did temptation start to appear in this world? Of course, very easy question. When? In the beginning, this means at the beginning of time, already start appearing, which is, we all know the story, Eve's story, how devil Satan tempted our dear ancestor, which make us all this trouble now. So temptation start appearing at the beginning of time. Because devil is always working, he knows that God start working, so he also want to join to cause the chaos. So it started the temptation at the beginning, which is in Genesis chapter 3, the fall of man. Now, if you look at the Bible, temptation is throughout everywhere. Because good and evil are in contrast, contrasting each other. Wherever you see God, you see the work of devil. Wherever you see the light, and the place don't have light, is darkness. Whenever you see love, you see hatred. Whenever you see holiness, you see someone who cannot uphold the holiness and kind of fall into the trap. And you read the Revelation, the last book also talking about how temptation is trying to struggle its way through to defeat the people of God. Just turn to one verse. Just turn to one chapter in 18 of Revelation. The fall of Babylon, if you have time. When you are at home, you can read how the Babylon, the evil world, will fall after a great struggle. So this whole chapter talk about the fall of sin, but before that happened, there will be so much struggle between him, between the fall of the Babylon and the people of God. So what I want to point out is temptation is everywhere, throughout the time, the history, from the beginning to the end. So it is an issue that no one can avoid. No one can say, oh, I don't think about this, I don't have to deal with it. And now the problem is, temptation is, of course, is the work of devil. But there are some kind of people, devil wanted to defeat the most. He's more urgent because devil also have a priority list. Don't think therefore it's stupid. He or it has a priority list. Now who he therefore want to defeat first? Workers of God. Okay, where's the pen?
You want to do things that's best for us, not this one.
Now God has a priority. If you read Genesis chapter 1, God priority, how he created the world, the lights, the space, the water, the land, and then human being. God has his own priority. This is how God worked out his salvation. But devil is not stupid. He also has a priority. So whom he wanted to defeat first? Well, who?
In a church setting, who he wanted to defeat first? What is his number one goal?
So the membership will go down, faith will go down.
Now continue, don't laugh. Oh, I'm not a preacher, I'm not a shepherd, I'm not a deacon, I'm safe, no. Second is RET church. I'm the church for the RET church. I am out of RET church.
So why? Because you're a teacher, you're a shepherd. So if devil can do something with you, he can finish your class.
Because
no strength, no spiritual food, no inspiration. Now how can you give inspiration and strength to those who are following you? Those who are following you cannot be better than you at this stage. I don't know in future, but Jesus has once said, 学生不能大过老师. Jesus said, the student can overcome, cannot be surpassing the teacher at this stage, maybe in future, I don't know, maybe they can better, but now they cannot be. So if you are not spiritual, how can you request your student to be spiritual? If you don't read the Bible every day, if you don't love the Word of God, how can you demand them? Now you must read the Bible every day. It's impractical. So,
RA teacher, if we can use the RA teacher, and the RA class will become weak,
and if the RA class become weak, student become weak, you don't have future supply of good teachers. Because a few years later, those RA students will become teachers. Now, if you don't have good teachers, in future, you won't have good church board.
Because church board, how they, when the RA teacher mature 10 or 20 years later, they will become
church board or workers. And maybe from
those, some of them will be detached and want to become full-time worker.
So, don't overlook your place, think that you're on a safe side. Actually, therefore, it's working extremely hard to get you and me. Even though we may not notice, he will not show you a flying dragon, dark shadow. to scare you around, but we are on his priority list. And that one, that fact is ignored by most of the RA teacher. It's ignored. They think, it's okay, just teach a class. I have time and I'll talk, if otherwise I don't talk to the class. But we are in such a high priority of the devil, and he wanted to use temptation to defeat us. Now, why use temptation?
The devil can defeat us using two
kind of aspects. The first one is persecution, which is the hard way. Now, the problem is, the devil is getting smarter these days. Why? Because he knew throughout the ages, if you try to use persecution to scatter the church, it ends up that maybe the people get stronger. Well, some of them, they are not rooted up, they leave. But if you look at the Acts of Apostles, the more they persecute them, the more they grow. Because we know the action and reaction, Newton's law, right? The pressure you give him, the action you give him, you get reaction. So they were kind of smart nowadays. They said, now, this doesn't work very well to the most of the people. Now, what works well is the soft way. The soft way to draw you to him, and then you come directly. If I force you, you may not follow. You react. But if I draw you using something which your flesh like, your mind is like, to draw you, you is more longer and more sustainable, and it's difficult to realize the danger. So he's kind of smart nowadays. Temptation. So what is temptation? Who can tell us what is temptation? From devil trying to do what?
Entice
you to do what?
Against God. Entice you against God's will. So don't fall God step by step.
Do you
want to
just turn off that one?
Turn off, sorry.
Microphone.
Oh, okay.
Double power. Okay, so when I move around, I can still the voice. Okay, so this is temptation. Now, when is most likely the temptation be appearing?
Daily life.
Daily life? Okay,
what else?
Leisure time.
Why leisure time?
When you idle.
When you relax. What else?
When you relax yourself.
When you are
at peace,
yes, do nothing, restful. You lay down your guard when you're sleeping, when you are spiritually lacking. What else? Now look at what is the good timing for temptation. Now, I always read the Bible when I read Genesis, the typical classic example of devil temptation strategy. And what is the timing? In Genesis chapter 3 is the fall of man. But before that, what did God do? God set up a marriage in chapter 2, right? God set up the marriage, he formed a woman and gave for Adam, and they now started to live happily. I don't know whether it's not forever, but at least have a good beginning. Now, temptation always comes to the time where you least expect them to appear. He started a good family, starting to love each other. Adam just said, you are the bone of my bones, the flesh of my flesh. And they are happily just starting to form a family. Where? Where?
Where is the temptation?
Where? Where did the temptation in Genesis chapter 3?
In Eden.
Oh. In Eden, it's not in the wilderness, it's not in the deep pit. It's not in the jungle, but
in the garden of God,
which you think might be the safest place to be.
And the timing is when you are most
relaxing, you think, 很幸福了, I'm so blessed, everything I got it, and I'm enjoying spiritually, I'm in the garden of God. And that could be the right moment for temptation, just to appear. So don't think, oh, I'm on the safe side, I'm spiritually really strong, I just come to the seminar, I just come from NYTS. Actually, I always tell the student that when you go back, temptation is waiting you at the door. Here. Emotionally, we are charged. That's like what we have learned. Oh, I pray 1 hour every day. There's no temptation here, of course. You don't have internet access. Your mobile are all confiscated. No internet, no outside friend. Every day, Bible, of course, there's no temptation here. But when you go back, look on your computer, your TV, devil is waiting you there. So temptation is, it's just everywhere, every time. And so when you are most alone, okay, let's ask a read how devil, step by step, try to. Because first we must know how temptation works, the strategy, and then we can try to counteract. Now, let's read chapter 3. Verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animal the Lord God had made. He had said to the woman, "Did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" Now, only read from this verse. Devil is very crafty, and he knows who to work on first. Actually, at that time, there was only two human beings, Adam and Eve. But why the devil choose to talk to Eve first? Why? Weaker, like to talk, more open. What else? Emotionally, yeah, the needs. Women like shopping, so like watching things. Maybe man has no. Yeah, I'm wandering around, do nothing. So he knows, the devil knows that if I talk to this woman, actually, maybe emotionally, women are kind of, I'm not saying all the sisters, all the women, or many of you are very strong here, but some of the women sound emotionally easy to be enticed. Now, he knows, devil knows, when Adam is not around, he talks to Eve. So he knows when you are alone, you are by yourself. Don't think our mind is very clear. Sometimes when we are alone, too long, and the things we know, we already know, we have confidence, but our mind cannot be 100% clear. So the first step of devil is try to segregate you from your partner, from a companion, and then he wants to go to you alone. So that is the first strategy. So if we are always alone spiritually, then we become a very soft target of devil. Because devil know how to choose target. Just like a thief, they know how to choose the target. They know which car is easy to do. They can steal. Which house is easy to break it. They look around. They try to find a soft target. Now, are you a soft target? If you're always wondering yourself in the church, there's no companion, no prayer companion. Let's turn to Deuteronomy. Chapter 25, verse 17. Okay, Tony, read for us loud.
17. Remember what the Amalekites did to you along the way when you came out of Egypt.
Yeah, 18.
When you were weary and worn out, they met you on your journey and cut off all who are lagging behind. They had no fear of God.
Okay, this Amalekite symbolizes the devil. And he knows if you go on the face directly, they cannot overcome Israelites because they were defeated. When Moses led them, Moses was praying, Joshua was fighting, they were defeated. So they knew, if I go straight to you, they cannot win. But if I go at the back, just get one by one, get those who are losing, the sheep, the lost one, who are tired and weary, they'll get it. So this gives us a very alarming teaching. First, we are a teacher, we must not be alone. We must form a very strong RE teachers fellowship. Always exchanging not only experience, but personal struggle, weaknesses, and we must try to pray together and know each other. I don't think we may know each other so much as a teachers group, but that's the place we must work on. So RE teacher must not be alone. You must not be thinking I'm the only teacher responsible or nobody understands me. If that is the case, we are very vulnerable. And secondly, all your students, if you find them, there's no bond between your students. They are all individual. They only come as class as an individual and there's no interaction. After class, they don't mix together, they don't talk together. And they're also very vulnerable to temptation, to defeat. Now, Secondly, let's turn back to Genesis chapter 3, how devil's second strategy. Verse 1 tells us, devil said, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? So devil, the second strategy, will kind of cast doubt, blur the focus about the word of God. If one lose the focus about the word of God, did God really say this? Did it matter? It is important. So this kind of blurring our focus, so that shaking our faith, something really important but we think is not important, or change the little bit about the word of God. The third strategy is change the word of God. It's actually not this. Let's read verse 4. You will not surely die, the servant said to the woman. So, second strategy, he blurred it, and then third strategy, he changed it. So if you do not know the word of God clear, just like what we have learned in the last lesson, if you don't know the word of God really clear, really firmly, and somebody can introduce to you the wrong concept is more poisonous than just another level of temptation. There are many levels. For example, bad TV, bad movie, all those things. They are temptation, but they are also easier to deal with. The deeper one, the more poisonous one, is the concept. Because everybody knows bad movie is not good. You don't have to, even if you ask the student who's weak on that, they know it's not good, but I cannot control myself. But you pray for them, by the word of God, they can go out easily. But a wrong concept is more poisonous than just a bad movie or bad music, because they last longer, they're more deeper rooted. For example, a concept like true Jesus church may not be the true church. Why so selfish? Other people cannot be saved. Is God so selfish? Now, this kind of concept, if in the people's mind, if the student mind is difficult to eradicate, to remove this root, you have to go for a long range amount of teaching. Maybe some New Age movement or other religion, they maybe met someone in the school to tell them about the mystic rare religion from India, some places that you don't know, but they look attractive. There was one time I met a Swiss guy from Switzerland in Ghana. He was in Ghana, in a village in Ghana. I asked him, what do you do here? He said, I'm a tourist. And I thought, you're from Switzerland, you must be a Christian, right? So no, I'm not a Christian. I don't believe in Jesus. I believe in some special mystic religion from India. It's not even Hinduism. I was like, wow, this, I don't know. This is difficult to talk from a different world. But he's deeply rooted. Oh, I believe in that things. So concept, a wrong concept is more difficult to remove than those superficial things. So devil will try to change the concept of a student, induce some wrong teachings, worldly things. And then devil, the fourth strategy, he'll rise up your interest, he'll cause your interest, raise your interest of sin for you. Now before devil talked to Eve, actually she has no intention of even touching the fruit or eating it. Her hand was at peace. She doesn't need that fruit to survive. That fruit is not particularly more beautiful than other fruit. All fruits are beautiful. I think there's some flowers, some apples, some papaya, banana trees. I think that particular fruit is not strikingly different. It's not shining and then to draw the people there. Otherwise, they would have been going there for the first day. So it's just normal. Everything is beautiful. Not that fruit is especially beautiful. But devil can try to cause you to think about that. Rise up your interest on it. For example, before you have internet, you have no internet struggle, isn't it, all the youth? Before internet was invited, there's no struggle for internet to. I'm not saying internet is bad or good, it's neutral, but how to use it. So devil is, if you read the whole chapter, how devil drop the interest.
Step by step, he talks to Eve, so you must get close to her, right? You cannot go very far. How come you not come? So you must get close to the serpent. Tell the Eve, now come closer, let's talk. If you are far, you can talk. And then, take a look at this one. You see, after he talked to him, did God really say, can I eat it?
this fruit? Now you look at it. Now the more you look at it,
now what does that really like? It's really special. How do I feel if I touch it? How the texture?
How the feel? And when you touch it, I want to smell it.
This sense is profound.
This touching is and smelling will
increase all the sense, and now the desire is right up.
Desire. Imagine how do you shop? How do you go shopping? Not only the opposite sex things. This is temptation is everywhere. How do the marketer entice you to buy something? First, you window shopping first. You must go to the mall window shopping, and then say, "Oh, come on sale! Even though you don't buy, come and take a look." It's okay. It doesn't help. And then you put on. No, I cannot put it down. So, this is a strategy. Marketer is learning this strategy, getting closer. This is not bad, this is a formula. God can also use this formula to get you close to Him. But this is a formula you must know. And then when you see, when you touch, when you smell, now you find Him. This is a formula. Now you've taken it, now you're into it. It's difficult to get out. She did not say, "Oh, yeah, it's yucky. Oh, sorry, God." No. Eat and give it to the husband. So when you sin, when we are in temptation, very likely those who are among us lead next to us, we try to say, "Oh, let's do it together." Because people do not like to be alone. Even the sin, we want to sin together. So, get the husband. And the husband also aches. And they feel shame. Now this is a different, this is a lot of different. Sin, they make people shame. And later they reject the responsibility. They don't repent. They reject the responsibility. And that's how the world ends up like that. So this is always the strategy of the devil. Try to rise up your desire.
Desire is always there.
But some desires must be triggered. Desire could be good or bad. If you desire for God, also need to be triggered. Desire for spiritual fulfillment also need to be triggered. But if devil trigger your desire for the flesh, or pride, or the eyes, which is the three arrows of the devil, we all know, right? From 1 John. Chapter 1. First John, let's turn to 1 John. Chapter 2, verse 15. First John 2:15. Do not love the world and anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I like this verse so much because it tells us this contradiction between the fighting, the battle between God and the world. If you love the world, you cannot love God. You cannot say, "I love both." On Sabbath day, I love God. On Sunday, I come to seminar. But Monday to Friday, I love the world. That's not work. And then verse 16 says, for everything in the world, the craving of a sinful man, the lust of the eyes, and the boasting of what he has, comes not from the Father, but from the world. So this is how the devil works. Step by step, draw you to the world and far from the Father. Using your need and my need, tracking the desire of all kinds, is free. The flesh, the eyes, and the hidden proud. So this is his strategy. So we must know his strategy in order to counter-react, to form our own strategy. Now, how do we deal with the temptation? We can use one example of classic, good example of our Lord Jesus Christ, how he works to overcome temptation. We know this already, but just a good review. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 1 to 11 talks about how the Lord was tempted by the devil before he started working, and give us the strategy Verse 2, after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry, and the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. So Jesus knew that he will face temptation. Because if he start working, the devil will come to him. So he must go through it. Why? Because he wants to demonstrate to us he was a human being. He was not like a flying angel, far from all this trouble. He will face the same thing we are facing today. But how did he defeat it? First, he fast and pray for 40 days and night. He knew the temptation is coming. So he keep praying for a long time. So this all come back to the basic about prayer. How do we pray for ourselves to grow spiritually? So we must identify the first step, how to deal with temptation. Before say we pray, I think we must identify what kind of temptation facing me today. Different people will face different temptation. When you're in different ages, you face different temptation. Maybe when you're 18, devil use the porn, internet. Maybe you are 24, 25, devil kind of use the relationship issues. Maybe you're 30, devil use money because now you're money-minded. You need money to buy a house, feed your family. When you're 40, maybe now you have some age, you have some self-respect, you need some recognition. When you're 50, I don't know, keep going on. Temptation is in different ways, even though in different formats, but the motive is the same. So identify what may be around you which could have the tempting effect. Now secondly, you must start deep praying about it. Jesus prayed for 40 days and night, asking for the fullness of the Holy Spirit. After he prayed, Bible tells us, he was filled with the Spirit. If we talk all this strategy and knowledge, but we do not have the Holy Spirit and we are not filled with the Spirit, all these are empty talk. We can talk very nice, oh, how to do with temptation, point 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. But go home and say, still defeated. Without the Spirit, what can I do? I'm a flesh also. Flesh, remember, flesh cannot overcome spirit. This is the principle. By all flesh, no matter how determined we are, because flesh is secondary to spirit's spiritual realm. Flesh is created by spirit, God's spirit. So flesh cannot overcome spirit. Only by spirit can overcome spirit. Because devil use spirit to trigger our desire. We are in the flesh, how can we defeat it? Only by the spirit. So talking more about this, going back to prayer. If we teacher do not even pray at home, what I mentioned prayer is not say grace before food. What I mentioned is deep prayer, deep prayer, at least 15 minutes. I'm not saying that you must pray for 15 minutes or 20 minutes. Some people say, okay, show me where the Bible tells you must pray 15 minutes before you sleep. There's no, you can pray 1 minute, of course. But if you can pray 1 minute and you can go down very deep in the spiritual level, I say your spiritual level is very high. Even me, I cannot. Sometimes my first 10 minutes, my mind is still wandering around. Thinking all the things, but after 10 minutes, 15 minutes, then my mind started to settle. And then I started to go deeper. So, if we are teacher, we don't really spend a good quality time, not only time, but quality time praying, not when my mind is really on the bed already, but we're still struggling. But quality time prayer, before you watch all those movies or watch the TV, quality time, when your mind is still not too exhausted, 10 or 15 minutes, 20 minutes, deep prayer about yourself, about myself, about your student. Because when your student face temptation, this means you facing temptation. Because if they are defeated, God will ask you, now, you have 5 students in your class, but 3 commit fornication in the future. And then God will ask you, now, when they face temptation, where are you? Where is your praying hand? So, not only facing my own temptation, but also my students, when they are in trouble, they need, I am also responsible. So don't think being a teacher is very easy. Talk about a story only. No. So if we don't even spend the time praying, how can we overcome our own temptation and help the student? So that's why what I suggested as an RA teacher in this group, I really suggest pray together is more powerful. So if we can make a time, let's say, I usually start praying at 10 o'clock during the night. Doesn't mean I only pray at 10 o'clock, but I try to start our prayer group prayer movement, at least from all of us teachers here. 10 o'clock is not too late, you're not too tired yet. Before you turn on the TV for final news or watch some other magazine or books. 10 o'clock at night, all the teachers pray together. 10, 15 minutes. Pray for yourself, pray for your family, pray for your student, pray for the church. I think a while ago, you see the difference. RE teachers are facing so much. We are in the priority list, I'm telling you. 10 years ago, I came here, I saw so active youth, love the Lord, very, very fervent. RE teachers sent to other country to be trained. And many of them today, I don't see them in the church even. So, don't think that, oh, I'm on the safe side, I'm a teacher, I'm promoted to glory. And the devil cannot touch me. No, the devil want you more than before. Want me more than before. So we must pray together as a group. So why do I tell you to sit closer? If you sit along there, you can sleep, nobody again. Or you can play with the computer, nobody notice. But now sit together, close together. Hey, you're doing bad things. Wake up. Don't write your assignment now. You know each other. So when you're close together, remind each other, support each other, and then when you're close together, when you can talk and tell and say, hey, Lucy, what is the point there? I just missed anything to tell. So when you're close together, the support is always there. But if you're scattered, you're far, you're by yourself, the devil is very happy. So that's what I suggest. Teachers, these teachers, prayer group, 10 o'clock every night, 15 minutes. If we can seriously implement it, you see the RE, not in Canada only, but let's talk about Vancouver or Seattle, will be different. We are not lacking teachers. We are lacking good teachers. We are not lacking teachers, but we are lacking good, spiritually motivated, Holy Spirit-filled teachers. We are not lacking the skill. We are lacking the power. We are not lacking the knowledge, but we are lacking the light, enlightenment from the scripture so that we can shine forth for the student. So prayer is still the key. Sorry for repeating every time, but until we can truly implement, we still have to talk about it. So, really hope. It's not forced. No force. If you think you want to pray now, clock, half an hour, you are free to do that. All I say is 10 o'clock, prayer movement. Starting from us as a serious RE teacher. Because I know you dedicated time here today, you show your seriousness, because some teacher cannot make it these few days. But you are here, that means you are serious. Ask the Lord to help us. So, how do we deal with temptation? First, with prayer through the Holy Spirit. Secondly, is through God's Word. Jesus used the scripture 3 times to defeat the devil. Our dear sister Patricia has talked about that, so I'm not repeating. But there's one good example. There was a brother, always weak in his eyes, like this bad movie. But one time he went to the seminar, and there's one verse struck him. Let's turn to Job, chapter 31. Job, the book of Job, 31, verse 1. The book of Job. I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a girl. That is his weakness. And every time this weakness on the way, especially on the campus, on the summertime people dress less. It's a big temptation for the brothers, especially the campus in Canada, in US. Wow, all those girls dress, suggesting, very exposing themselves. But the brother always think about these words. I cannot look at a girl lustfully. I make a covenant with my eyes. We have our agreement. So our words of God always remind him. So there are many, many examples, but the word of God really is a good reminder. The third strategy is we always try to cast out the devil in our hearts through prayer and through the word of God. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 4. We just read. At the end, Jesus don't want to waste time with the devil. Matthew chapter 4, verse 10. Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him alone. So Jesus don't want to waste time with the devil anymore. Maybe he'll come up with 4 or 5 or 6 more temptation. It's enough. Go away. Get away from me. And devil, don't come back for now. Later you come again, but it is not for now. So, devil sometimes is in our heart. As I said, not in the form of scary dragon or darkening shadow, but a thought, an idea, and lustful thinking, and some rare, really rare thinking. Ask the Lord, Jesus, help me to cast the devil in my heart. Sometimes if I'm proud, oh Lord, help me. I shouldn't think about this. I shouldn't glorify myself. Cast out the devil in my heart. So this is very effective. So we must be always praying and ask God to cast out the devil in my heart. And also, fourth, we must not leave a footstep for the devil. Ephesians chapter 4. The book of Ephesians chapter 4. 27. Do not give the devil a foothold. That is a good reminder. Devil cannot come into our heart unless we give him a foothold. He cannot just jump from the above and suddenly come in. There must be a way. He must find a small window open to come in. Maybe your eyes, maybe my eyes, our ears, the books we read, the people we meet, the places we go. He cannot just go from nowhere and come into your heart like that. It's not possible. So don't leave a foothold for the devil. So mind what we receive, because we always say the eyes are the window of the soul. Isn't it? Have you heard about this? The eyes are the window of the soul. What does it mean? What we look, what we read directly come to the soul, which sink deep to the soul. So if you read the Bible, the word of God will sink to your soul and start rooted. Good things bear good fruit. If you read unedifying things, worldly things, it will also keep coming to us. So close our windows. Let our windows, our gates, our alarm be selective. Don't let just everything come in. Will you open your house and let it everything come in? No, when you come into your house, lock your door. Only you welcome your friends. When your friends knock on your door, my brother and sister or preacher knocking your door, you open it for him. So make our door be selective. Mind about what we read, we see, we heard. There was a brother who always liked a bad movie, but later he heard about this, oh, we should not watch this bad Hollywood movie. What did he do? He go back to his house, because no cable TV is so convenient. At that time, there was no internet yet. And then he told his mom, now mom, cut this cable TV subscription, because I cannot control myself. Because it's easy, it's changing channel, 50 channels, and then there's always something for you. So I cannot control, so I don't need to change it. So remove the subscription. Remove yourself. If you cannot control it, remove totally the chance of making sins. There's another brother. He met a sister and they like each other, but they are still not the time of marry yet. Actually, they start holding hands. Later, come back from theological course. And the brother said, no, from now on, no, not even holding hands. Because I'm afraid I cannot control myself. So I make an agreement. Next time we hold hands is on a wedding day. The sister at the beginning said, oh, cannot get used to it. But the brother said, no, I don't want to leave them a foothold for devil. Because he knows his weaknesses. The worst point is we don't know our weaknesses. We think we are strong. Let's go for it. I can hold hands, but come to the next step. No, getting one step is for another step. So he said, oh no, since I'm not, he says something very, 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 very funny. He said, I'm not even confident of myself. Thank God, until this day, he still keeps his holiness. So, don't leave a foothold for the devil. And this is a classic example. Huh? Let's read Genesis. Genesis, how Joseph faced his temptation. Genesis 39. verse 9 and 10. We know how the Potiphar's wife tempted him. Verse 9, no one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such wicked things and sin against God? And those who spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or be even with her. One day he went to his house, to her house, and attended his duty, and none of the household servants was inside. She caught him by his cloak and said, come to bed with me. But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. So temptation always comes when you are alone, especially these opposite sex issues. When you are alone, even opposite sex in a room, there's a Chinese saying, just like the charcoal with fire. 干柴烈火, the steak, dry wood, meat with fire, will burn up easily. So the desire of the wicked woman is triggered and they want to ask Joseph to comply. Now what did Joseph do? At the beginning, he tried to be in a different room with her. If you are in this room, I'm in another room. Because he cannot quit his job, there's no other job. If today said that maybe we can advise Joseph, okay, change another job. But he was a slave, he could not apply for another job. So there's no way to fly away from this temptation. So if you're in this room, then I'm in this room. But temptation will intensify. We intensify by times because devil think that now this doesn't work, I give you more. Now this time is the woman trying to drag Joseph on a bed. And this is the most horrible, most frightening, most powerful, most effective temptation is for young men. Because I believe Potiphar's mind may not be very ugly, otherwise Potiphar will not marry this woman. So she's not a very ugly old woman. It's kind of attractive, could be. Now, Joseph is a young man, unmarried, single, pure. How can he defeat this temptation? It's difficult. But he said, God is watching me. How can I sin against God? And then he decided to run away. So basically, we don't deal with temptation. The best policy is to run away from it, to avoid it. Avoid ourselves being into the temptation. Now, Joseph did not say, oh, master, oh, madam, I cannot sleep with you because of my religion. But we can have a little chat here. We can talk a bit. Now, let's talk about something else. I preach to you to know the God. No, it doesn't work. Because at this moment, he can say, how can I sin against God? But if he stay another 10 minutes, maybe he'll remove his clothes. Because human being is weak, so weak. This minute we could be strong, but next minute we will be totally defeated. So the best policy is avoidance, run away from it. As soon as we identify, this could be a very harmful temptation. We must leave the sins. So that's why, be careful what kind of party you're joining in school. Be careful what kind of friends, companion we are meeting. Be careful what kind of venue, what kind of entertainment places people inviting you to go. Be careful what kind of magazine, what kind of movie. Some people think, oh, I'm immune, I've heard so much teaching. I can see this thing without any feeling. Don't cheat yourself. We are flesh. So, Joseph said, let me go from you. Away from you. Don't even want to close. Just run away. So this is the best policy. Ask the Lord to help us. And then, the fifth point, we must find spiritual companion. At Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9. Ecclesiastes 4, 9. Two are better than one because they have a good return for the work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. So, that's why I want to come back to the point. Our teachers must not be alone. We must have a strong fellowship. Not only a working fellowship, not only a working relationship, Sometimes we find a pity our church member or our co-worker only have a working relationship. When we meet, we only discuss work. How do you think about this class and how do you improve things? And the only time when we talk is meeting. And after meeting, there's nothing else to talk and we all go home. And this is the greatest pity in a church as a brother and sister. Imagine when you go home to see your family, the only time you talk is about work, about how, I'm not saying the work is not important, but before we can have a good working relationship, we must have a good spiritual relationship. But we always jump to the working relationship, oh, let's talk about work. And then if we don't agree with each other, we don't happy. And then the bond is not there. So form a good bond among teachers, at least with your own, the same class, your head teacher, your co-worker teachers, form a prayer fellowship, form a working, not only working, but a spiritual relationship. Share your weakness. Always tell others, now what do I need? What is the difficulty I'm facing? Ask the Lord to help us. So find a spiritual companion. I always think, why did our Lord Jesus Christ, when he went to Gethsemane to pray, he could have went there alone, pray by himself, even 10 hours, nobody could disturb him. But why did he bother even to bring that three sleepy disciples there? And after prayer, why have to wake them up? And then to go to pray another while and then wake them up three times? Why he bother do these things? Because he knows he will be feeling lonely, even though they are weak. But it's better to go with them. Because when he has the flesh, that is the weakest moment of his life on earth. So even our Lord Jesus will need someone to just go with me. It's okay, you're sleeping or you're not totally strong, but just be with me. Just be there with me. You don't have to talk much. Even if you sleep there with me. I'll wake you up later, but just be there. Just be there. But today we have no one to be there when we need. Why so many lost sheep, lost RE teacher, lost worker, when they maybe need the most, nobody is there. Not everybody could be like Jesus, overcome Gethsemane. Jesus is God himself, he has the power from God, he prays so hard and then he can overcome. But if you don't overcome, you stay there, you die there. So, cannot be alone. That's why I say co-workers, preachers, church board members, RE teachers must form a very good, strong spiritual relationship. Last point, the sixth point, how do we overcome temptation, deal with it? We must fill our heart with the Word of God, with everything good. We cannot let our heart be empty for one moment. Let's turn to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, verse 24. Luke 11, 24. Luke chapter 11, verse 24. When an evil spirit comes out of a man, it goes through and places and seeking rest and does not find it. Then he says, I'll go back to the house I left. When he arrives, found the house wept, clean, and put in order. Then he goes and takes seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. And the final condition of the man is worse than the first. Of course, our Lord Jesus talked about this parable, referring to those, if his heart, the demon-possessed people, if their devil is cast away, the heart has become empty and clean. How do we make it clean? How do we keep the good condition? Must feel the word of God, feel the love of God. Otherwise, if your heart is empty, yes, devil is going out, but you don't come to church, you don't read the Bible, you don't do the holy work, you're far from Jesus, then the space is empty. Now devil can come back. So this is how we encourage those who have this need. But also can apply to us. We cannot on the passive side every day just fearing temptation. Oh Jesus, today temptation is coming. Oh, praise happening. This is the beginning, we identify temptation. But as our spiritual level grow up, the best way to defeat temptation is we don't give any space for temptation or even setting in. Your heart is already so occupied, so fulfilled with the good stuff. Just like when your computer, the memory space is full. You try to put another program inside there, it can reject you. I have no space now. my memory, my CPU is still running very busy without a good program. So cannot take another program. Isn't it? So we cannot just passively waiting for temptation to come and then defeat every day, just defeating temptation. That's not good enough. We must be active. So some people say the best defense is attack. I'm not saying that you go to the nightclub to attack the prostitute there and to open the channel and then I watch everything so that I can be immune. No. The best policy is to fill our hearts so that your life is so occupied, so busy, so meaningful. First, with your social life, I mean your work life, your career, and your school, your academics. You're so busy studying, and then your family life, you have a good family, spending time with your wife, your kids, your family life so fulfilling. Because temptation always just how he set in, not only trigger a desire, he must find a space to go to some empty part. Some empty part, just like the dirt. How did the place grow up? The fungi, all those places, things grow up because of the lacking of the sun. The sun does not shine in that area. It's wet and have nutrition there, so they grow up there. So devil tries to look an empty space. So if our heart is really empty, devil like it. But your heart is so fulfilled, so occupied with God's word, always thinking about God's word. No space to come in, you wait later. Not forever now, but at least now you're not. There's no space. So sometimes, just like this week when I arrived at the Vancouver, the quarter, there, at the beginning I think it's so quiet. So quiet. It's not used to it because I've been, when I go to Africa, those places, always with church member, go to place, always someone with you, always something to do, whole day service from morning to evening, evangelical, go to all the places. But now I'm by myself there. So I must find a time besides reading Bible, what should I do? I go to the library, so many books, sermon cassette, hymn I play. Suddenly I feel, not only in the trouble, but I feel God is with me, I hear the hymn. And I hear other people's sermon. I also need to learn. I'm not perfect. I need to learn from someone else. So the word of God, the music, right? And then I go visiting, coming back myself. Even when I'm cooking, I play some hymns, a sermon. My heart's so fulfilling. And I have so much time, and I can pray. So I feel, thank God, it's an enjoyment. So you can do the same at home. You can do the same. Fill your life. Don't let your heart have any space for the devil to work. 中文句话叫饱暖的适宜女, when you are fit, when you are warm, your heart still start wandering outside and think about bad things. So don't let our heart be empty. So now I'll give you an assignment before you go. Don't look at me like that. Be joyful. I know, but write something after your lunch. Now write about your own experience. You don't have to put your name there if you want to keep it secret. Write your own experience of how you have overcome your temptation successfully, or you failed to a temptation. How did it happen? You must reflect. Think about how did it happen? What and then this is the first question, right? Write your own experience about how you overcome temptation or you fail one for your own sake. And then secondly, identify what may be the new temptation around you. What may be, and how are you going to implement what we have heard today? What is your determination to tackle it? So there's two questions. And give it to me before dinner. Before dinner, you can spend 15 minutes, just sit down in a corner, write about your own experience. You don't have to put your name. If you want to put it, you can put it. Don't have to put your name. You can write whatever you want. I won't try to find out the handwriting belongs to whom and come to you and talk to you. Just for yourself. If you want me to take a look at it, you can put it anonymous. No name. But this is for your own reflection. So we thank God for guiding us this morning in the class. And afternoon, I think we have the counseling, a Q&A. So I think not only me, because we have two very experienced IT teachers, the teacher of our instructor here. So if you have any question concerning your class, or behavioral problem of your student, or counseling cases. So think about what question you want to share in our fellowship class. Okay, we thank God for the class, and let's all kneel down and pray to conclude this morning class.